Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Welcome back. Now, my next guest was chosen to be Ireland's first person in space. It was a week-long mission that sadly never happened. The purpose was going to be a civilian lunar trip. Rhiannon Adam is a professional photographer. It's why she was chosen, because she's brilliant at it. But she has now put her disappointment energy into art and she's winning prizes for it. Good morning to you, Rhiannon Adam.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Special thanks for joining us. You're just off a flight from New York, isn't that right?
Well, I've just landed in New York, so it's
Landed?
Well, 5 a.m, yeah.
You're from Cork originally, but you're based abroad now. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Well, congratulations. You won. Tell us about the prize you won in the Sony World Photography Awards.
Yeah, so I won the creative category for the Sony World Photography Awards for a project that, as you said, deals with the disappointment of the end of the Dear Moon project. It's called Re-entry, which is a pun on my name, because they say that re-entry is the most dangerous part of any manned spaceflight.
Yeah.
And I love a good pun.
Let's jump back to 2022, because this is where all this began. You were chosen to be possibly the first Irish person in space. How were you selected for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the application process started in 2021, and we were actually selected in 2021, but we had to keep a lid on it for a full year until it was announced publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an open call, and it went out all over the internet, and they had a million applications from all over the world, from basically every country. And there were 8 crew members and 2 backup crew that were selected. And the trip was to be, as you said, a lunar circumnavigation aboard SpaceX's Starship. And the brief was that we had to make work that was to inspire world peace. And so we had to go through many, many hoops and proposals and discussions to see, you know, how our work and our vision married up to that.
So it was a very serious mission, wasn't it? Because it was going to actually go around the moon for a whole week.
Yeah, it was mirroring the kind of flight trajectory of Apollo 8, which was the first human-manned kind of lunar circumnavigation. So no one has actually, in a civilian sense, ever been that far into deep space. You know, no civilian's ever been into deep space. So this is really the kind of first time that was ever going to happen. So it was due to be a very historic mission. And to give you some context, of the 117 billion humans that have ever lived on Earth, only 24 people have ever been either around the moon or landed on its surface, and all of them have been American men.
Extraordinary. And the project was a Japanese billionaire behind it, wasn't there? And also Elon Musk.
Yeah, so Elon Musk obviously is the founder of SpaceX. And then Yusaku Maezawa is an art collector and businessman who made his fortune kind of selling originally import and export CDs. And he was a punk drummer and had a clothing store. So anyway, he was the guy who's funding it. And he's a big kind of, you know, art collector who buys Basquiat and Jeff Koons, etc. And so his thought was that humanity needed another reset, a little bit like how on Apollo 8 they managed to take the Earthrise photograph, which is the most reproduced photograph in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And that photograph really kickstarted the environmental movement. And the plan was with this was that this was kind of the next move on from that Earthrise picture.
It was a really nice idea to have all the crew members as artists. What ultimately happened to the mission?
Well, ultimately, I think it was a billionaire who just got bored of waiting. Sometimes money can't... money doesn't buy you patience, that's for sure. And I think, you know, Yusaku Maezawa, he went to space already. We were part of his friends and family group to watch him take off to go to the International Space Station, where he spent 10 days in December of 2021. And I think maybe he just didn't have the kind of character shift or moment of revelation that he was hoping for. And I think maybe he didn't have as much tension as he wanted for the mission. I think he was expecting... to be treated in a more heroic way. And I think he just dropped the ball on it. And it's such a shame because there was a small window of time where I think space could have belonged to all of us. And now with what's happened with Elon Musk and Trump, I think what's happened is it's become a political plaything once more. And there was this glimmer where space felt that it was accessible and it was not just the preserve of billionaires or just people who were going up for a little joyride like with Blue Origin. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. That's Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company, obviously. It was an all-female mission. Did you watch it, by the way?
I didn't. You know, for me, I have very little interest in... I can't reconcile the wastefulness of that particular mission. And, I have no idea why you'd do it. It just felt like it was a hen party in space.
Very good description. They were what a lot
five
of people
minutes, call, you know.
Yeah, 11 minutes is the claim. Near space is what a lot of people are calling it.
Yeah.
And of course, Katy Perry unfurling her set list for her tour. Women in STEM must have been kicking their desks that day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have to be very careful, you know, what we herald as being kind of groundbreaking for women, because I think it can do more damage than it can do good when basically some paid-for passengers are being called astronauts. Mm-hmm. When you compare that to people who've spent the entire of their existence working towards that, who have fought the good fight, you know, to be recognised and to just exist in a world that is so male-dominated and to be taken seriously, and then you have a bunch of people that have just bought a ticket. It's like I can get on a plane and I can sit in my seat. It doesn't make me a pilot, you know. So I don't get to be called a pilot because I've ridden on an aeroplane. And I just don't think that that's fair for everyone that has ever put in the work and the hours and should really have their achievements separated out from mere mortals who just have deep pockets.
Because you were being very careful, weren't you, when you were going to be one of the civilians on that long mission around the moon. But it wasn't to be. Re-entry, as you say, that's the name of the project that came out of the disappointment, really. And it's the entire story from the inception to all, includes all your health screenings and training and so on. Can you give us an idea what it looks like?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a different project for me. So normally as a photographer, I'm going to far-flung places and a lot of my work centres on kind of portraiture and I use a lot of archive material. And so there's a similar approach to it. But I think what was interesting about trying to prepare for the psychological element of being in space was that there have been very few actual accounts from, you know, people who've had the luxury of the time to really ruminate on what they'd experienced. And so I touched on Apollo 8, but that's a kind of heavy feature in the project because Bill Anders, who took the Earthrise picture, he also said they should have sent poets because we couldn't understand the grandeur of what we'd experienced.
Right.
And so that line then ended up getting written into the script of the film Contact by Carl Sagan, who also made Cosmos. And so that line was then uttered by Jodie Foster as she's gazing out into space. And I think there's something in that, which is that, you know, our mission was really to ruminate on the kind of existential crisis of it all, which you don't have the luxury of that if you've got a job to do. So our only job was that. And so I end up spending a lot of time kind of watching fictional films
really?
To try to find the language to be able to describe that experience or to know what was going on in the fictional films so that I didn't repeat it. So then with this project, I've ended up using kind of AI and face swapping tech to put myself in these films and kind of edited together sequences where it really tells the story of what we imagined was going to happen versus the reality of the mission. And also, you know, as you said, there's parts where I've made light boxes with the x-rays that were taken to show my female body and how unusual that is to actually have a woman doing this. It has a recreation of myself as Bill Anders. Bill Anders, when he was he returned and he was the director of NASA, they all take an official portrait and he's holding the rocket that he traveled on around the moon. And so there's me in the exactly same position holding a broken rocket, which is Starship. And there's just it's kind of a multimedia presentation, you know, video, audio, a dummy book, framed images. So I was actually quite surprised to win in the Sony World Photography Awards, because I'm always trying to push this little boundary between, you know, what is a photograph these days and what is a photography project. And I think that, you know, so often photography has been relegated to the second-hand, second-class art form,
right,
compared to other things. So really, this is a presentation that tries to bring together the reality of experience and to humanize it. You know, I think space flight for so long, the kind of reality of it has been usurped by either the way that we experience it in Hollywood films, mm-hmm, or this very kind of cold technical presentation of space. And so I really wanted to show, I think, the kind of psychological hoops that you have to jump through when you're considering leaving the planet, and also what that means to really truthfully reckon with your own mortality and to believe in the project to the point where you're willing to die for it. So, yeah.
And it was. I mean, obviously there's the disappointment, but probably relief as well, because this very dangerous mission, which was literally life or death risk, was ultimately called off. Have you had the time to deal with it? Has winning this, has that helped heal your disappointment?
In a sense, to be honest, I was never worried about dying as much as... I mean, it's not that I didn't think that there was a high chance that that could happen. It was more that I'm not afraid of death, or I'm not afraid of death, at least if I'm believing in what I'm doing. But really, and in all honesty, I'm slightly relieved, mm-hmm, right now that I don't have to stand on a stage near Elon Musk and condone what he is doing in the world. And I think that if this mission had continued, you know, there would have been certain restrictions on what I can say. And yeah, I'm one of only two people who didn't sign the contract with that, all the anti-defamation rules. And so that's why I'm able to make the project.
Which would have covered you after the project as well.
But, yeah,
but now you're free.
As soon as it was cancelled. Yeah, and so I'm free. And so I'm only one of two people who's able to speak about this openly. So in a way, I'm kind of a mouthpiece for all of our crew, and able to vent our collective frustration as well.
Mm. But of course, you wouldn't claim to speak for those as well. That's an extraordinary thing to say, that the relief of not standing next to Elon Musk is greater than the relief of not risking your life in space.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just, politically, he stands for everything that I don't agree with. And I have a green card. I live in America right now, and it's a scary place to be an out queer person that is here on an immigrant visa.
But it's good to you otherwise, yeah, isn't it? America.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all right.
You're there.
There are better places in the world. There are better places. I'm here because my mum naturalised a long time ago, and I'm an only child. So, you know, I'm not here because I agree with the politics. I really don't.
Well, they have their supporters, of course. They have plenty of support at the moment. But look, at congratulations again on your award. And for those of us, we can see more of your work at rhiannonadam.com. That's the best place to go.
Yeah. And also, if you want to see more about the project, you know, looking at the Sony World Photography Awards exhibition, they have all the write-ups and everything. So it's a good place to go and have a browse.
Perfect. Rhiannon Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.